today's lesson of the day, the Dancing with Shiva part, which is on good conduct. So part of Gurudeva's Bhasya is saying just what we're saying here. The Hindu fosters humility and shuns arrogance, seeks to assist, never to hinder, finds good in others, and forgets their faults. Isn't that a beautiful summary of what we were saying so far? I'll read that again. The Hindu fosters humility and shuns arrogance, seeks to assist, never to hinder, finds good in others, and forgets their faults. So seeks to assist, never to hinder, is just another way of saying what we said back here. Want to interact with every person in the spirit of encouraging that person to raise their consciousness. We want to help someone, encourage them to raise their consciousness, no matter who they are, no matter how they treat us, no matter how they treat others. That's a spiritual person. So there's a nice story on that. Story from a trip many years ago, I don't know how many years ago, to Russia. What was that, about 6 years ago, 5 years ago? Anyone remember? 5 or 6 years ago. We went to Moscow with one other monk. And for the release of the Russian translation of Dancing with Shiva. Wonderful accomplishment to have Gurudeva's books in Russian. One of the interesting aspects of Russia is they don't have very many books. In the U.S., we have too many books. You know, we're deluged with books. More books than we can possibly read, and a lot of them aren't that good because they have to rush them out every month, you know, new books. Russia doesn't have that problem. How many books are there in Russian on Hinduism? Well, maybe we were the fifth one or something. Maybe there's six now, 5 years later. They don't print a lot of books in Russia on these kinds of topics. So it was a big event, getting a new book on Hinduism in the Russian language. And so we went there for that, and we were a guest of an organization called the Tantra Sangha, which was a Shakta group. And the Swami is a very learned person and actually helped translate part of Dancing with Shiva and really loved the lexicon. In fact, he had the chart from the back of the book with the seven lokas, the 14 chakras, this and that. You know, it's a beautiful chart. He had it up on his bulletin board in the hallway. So he really appreciated the insightfulness of Gurudeva's teachings in Dancing with Shiva. So we spent a few days visiting his sangham, and on one day, he took us across Moscow. Moscow was absolutely huge. We were in the subway, and I went across Moscow and visited ISKCON, Krishna Consciousness, the ISKCON Moscow Center. Met a few of the leaders there, the head of the center, and some of the swamis and some of the brahmachari and brahmacharinis, and had a nice talk about what they were doing, and they were all out of jail. Some of them went to jail for a number of years. And definitely, Russian treatment of, they call them minority religions, has not been favorable. So we had a nice meeting, but you could tell there was some competitiveness between the two groups, the Tantra Sangha and the ISKCON group. So we had a book launching, and I gave a talk in English, and it was translated because almost everyone there didn't speak English. So it was translated into Russian. And at that event, the ISKCON head of the center was there. And so the translator who was supposed to translate was sick, had a flu, couldn't come. And so they had a substitute who wasn't as good at translating philosophical terms and ideas. It's much more complicated than just normal travel-oriented translation. So he made a mistake, and the ISKCON leader smiled and laughed a little bit. He was so happy that the Tantra Sangha presentation had a mistake. He couldn't restrain his happiness. Oh, they made a mistake. This is great. You know, so that really impressed me. It was opposite of Hindu solidarity, which is our point of view. You know, we want, you know, every Hindu group to flourish, and we don't feel a sense of competition because every Hindu group is unique. You know, ISKCON is Vaishnavism, and Tantra Sangha was Saktism. They don't have anything in common. You know, people will be drawn to one or the other based upon their own nature. So, I mean, they're not in competition. They're not both Vaishnava groups. You know, they shouldn't feel, shouldn't laugh at one another's mistakes. So anyway, that really stuck in my mind, and that spirit of being happy when other people falter. You know, here we are taking joy in the fact that someone has made a mistake, someone has failed, someone is not doing well, is making us happy. Isn't that strange? You know. But it is of consciousness that some people have. They don't have it toward everyone. They're very selective. You know, it's their enemies or the people they don't like or their competitors or something. You know, there's some label on these people which makes them different. And therefore, it's okay to laugh when they make mistakes. It's okay to take joy when they fail. But, of course, that's not what Gurudev is teaching. You know, it doesn't say help your friends. No, it says help everyone. The Hindu fosters humility and shuns arrogance, seeks to assist. It's not qualified. It doesn't say your friends or the people you like or this, but it means everybody, even the people who don't like you. Seeks to assist, never to hinder, finds good in others, and forgets their faults. So that's the subject we're exploring, this kind of human weakness which deviates from that in some circumstances. And, of course, it can be based on a number of factors. In the situation we were talking about, it is based upon a sense of competition. It's like two businesses almost, ISKCON and the Tantra Sangha. At least from ISKCON's point of view, they were in competition. So they were competitors, like in a business sense, and they wanted to do better, and if their competitors faltered, that was great. But, of course, religious groups shouldn't be like that. They're not a business. And on a personal level, you know, when we find ourselves feeling happy that someone made a mistake, faltered or something, why would that be? You know, someone we know, someone we work with, makes a mistake, falters. And we feel good about it. Why would we have that reaction? Because we're jealous in some way. We feel inferior to that person in some way. We have a low sense of self-esteem. Otherwise, we would never have that reaction. Somehow, we look at that person as being better than us. And if they make a mistake, that makes us better, right? It's an easier way. If we can knock someone down and stay the same, then we've improved our relationship with them, right? Instead of ourselves becoming taller, which requires work, we try and make them shorter. And then we'll be taller, finally, if we can make them shorter enough. So it's that interesting attitude. You know, we criticize someone, we backbite them, you know, we talk badly about them, remember everything they did wrong, remember all their faults. They keep shrinking in our mind. Each time we do that, they're a little bit shorter. And eventually, because we're standing still, we'll be taller than them, and our self-esteem will go up. Gee, I'm better than that person. They made so many mistakes. I remember them all. But, of course, that's not helping someone, right? That's hindering them. Even speaking negatively about a person, we're sending negative force. We're sending negative thought forms toward that person. So that's a subtle karma we're creating. We're hurting them. We're violating ahimsa, which is thought, word, and deed. So this is word we're talking about and thought. But it's a violation of ahimsa when we speak critically of people when there's no purpose in doing it. If we're speaking critically of someone to help them improve, that's okay. If we're really a compassionate person or a teacher or their parent or something or their supervisor at work and we're being critical of someone because we want them to improve and do better, that's one thing. But if we're being critical of someone because we're delighting in finding faults with them, you know, that's not acceptable. That's not following this idea of helping everyone. We're hindering them by our negative words and our negative thoughts about them. So that's the subject we're developing. As I say, it's not completely done, but interesting stories, right? Interesting advice column we have going. And we'll develop it some more in future talks. Have a wonderful phase.